Lord God, Good Shepherd, please may we hear your voice and follow your voice. Amen. Please sit down. Before I start a new series from the scripture which was in the first reading, Galatians chapter 1, could I add one or two notices, please? And first of all, a very serious one. The Bishop of Egypt in the Middle East has asked for prayer for Christians in that place. Christians there are saying they're undergoing the worst persecution since the very dark days of the 14th century, mainly at the hands of those who do things in the name of the Muslim Brotherhood. And one of the things that's going on at the moment is that black crosses are being painted on property owned by Christian people, homes, businesses, schools, other things, as opposed to red crosses painted on those owned by Muslim people, as an incitement to Muslims to destroy the property and attack the people inside. And that is going on. So please pray for our brothers and sisters in Egypt at this very, very difficult time. There are similar things going on in Syria. So pray for our brothers and sisters there as well. That's a call for prayer from the Bishop of Egypt and the Middle East. On another note, there are one or two notices I want to add to the notice sheet. One is to ask you to pray for Chris Naylor, who's starting work today with us here in the parish as a trainee youth worker. He's here with us for 11 months. He'll be at the next service, so please pray for Chris, new trainee youth worker. It's also the day on which Sarah Williams comes back from maternity leave as our youth and children's worker. One thing to look out for, if you haven't seen it already, there's a scarecrow competition going on in Higher Poynton. Anyone spotted it? It's reasonably easy to, and there are more scarecrows going up by the minute, I'm told, including the one outside St. Martin's. So thank you very much indeed to whoever put DIY Dave, the scarecrow, outside St. Martin's. And thank you very much to the two DIY Daves who've done some great work in the hall of St. Martin's. There's a new grapevine out today. Now, could you please turn with me to the book of Galatians? If you're not sure where to find it, it is in the section of the New Testament which is given to Paul's letters. And in order to help ancient librarians who dealt with scrolls, this part of the New Testament is often in size order. So my understanding is that Paul's letters are in size order, descending. So Romans, Corinthians, the larger letters, and then Galatians, and the following smaller letters. And if you're still confused, then one of the things that I've learned is that if you open up more or less in the right place, you'll probably hit one of these letters called Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, or Thessalonians. I remember that, you know, the vowels in the alphabet, A, E, I, O, U, it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians. And that should get you back to Galatians, which is the first of those. But If none of that's helpful, just try the contents page, as Val says. Galatians is a letter. Have you ever had a letter from a friend saying, "Watch out," or "Don't do it"? I had a family member who tried hard to talk me out of getting ordained. "You'll only regret it." And such letters make us think hard, don't they? If you have friends who are brave and bold and wise enough to write such letters at the right time, such letters make us think very hard. And people don't write such difficult things unless they have a strong sense that wrong decisions may be being made. Galatians is one of those letters. We're studying the book of Galatians in the Bible over these next few weeks. It's a letter from Paul to the churches in Galatia. Galatia was a part of central Turkey with a Gallic flavor. He had visited them, I think, 2 or 3 years before. The visit is mentioned there in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. And people had received the Christian message, become Christians, formed churches. But now, only a little while later, Paul is writing this letter saying, "Watch out! Don't do it!" Have a look at chapter 1, verse 6. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Quite a strong start to a letter. But Paul says he is astonished. Why? Because they're turning to a different gospel, as he describes it, a perversion of the Christian gospel. A complete turnaround, a misuse, which brings harm rather than benefit. Verse 7, "and are turning to a different gospel, not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." Don't do it, says Paul. It'll end up bad, a curse, not a blessing. That's what's being brought now. And so he says to them, verse 8, "but even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. Do not take notice of anyone who is telling you any other gospel than the one received from Jesus." And he says it again, because this is a strong warning. Watch out. As we have said before, verse 9, "so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed." This is strong stuff from Paul, and in the letter he sets out his reasons. So I hope you will follow the series and see those reasons and see the way in which Paul argues the points which need to be heard by the people, the Christian people in the churches of Galatia. Now, it wouldn't have been easy to write this letter, would it? But Paul knew that it was needed. The issues at stake were so important. And the main issue at stake was which message was being received. What was the good news being preached and shared by those churches? Was it the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or was it some other good news that was really bad news? Paul is making a distinction. There is the true message of God, the authentic Christian gospel, and then there are other gospels. There is the received gospel and the made-up ones. Now, people in Paul's time, in the areas where Paul travelled, did not like such talk. I think like in our times. They were more inclined to think, oh, what's your problem? You've got your version of the gospel, we've got ours. They're not quite the same, but what's your problem? Paul is astonished. He does not buy into such lazy thinking. He does not have time for such a sentimental approach, such an individualistic approach, such an illogical approach. Paul is imploring, don't do it. Whoever sells you this approach is accursed, not of God, but away from God. And you need to avoid it, he says. Now, Paul giving this message, would it have made him popular? No. He knew that. He wasn't somebody who liked being unpopular, far from it. He always tried to be winsome and says as much in his letters. But he knew that if it came to a choice between what God says and what people say, let's have a look at verse 10. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul was clear it was the received gospel which was the only one which was good news. And even though it might make things tricky for him, he was going to be faithful to God in standing for that gospel. Verse 11, for I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is wanting to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not one that has been changed or invented by human authorities. Paul was clear. And so the letter of Galatians goes on to tackle the question, what is the true gospel and what are false gospels? I'm not going to tell you much now. It's best if you can follow through the whole series and discover for yourself. But Paul does give us a few clues, even on his address page at the beginning of this letter. The envelope, if you like, which is probably verses 1 to 5. Have a look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. So Paul makes clear from the start he's writing as an apostle, one of only a couple of handfuls of eyewitnesses of Jesus who were given authority to speak and write the gospel. And with the backing of many other Christians, all the members of God's family are with me, he says. He is writing to the churches of Galatia. And then he goes on. This gospel is about receiving grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see verse 3? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we receive grace and peace from God? Through Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death for our sins. Can you see verse 4? Who gave himself for our sins to set us free. from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Which Jesus Christ is this? Verse 1, the one who was raised from the dead. So the gospel is about Jesus and what he has done, his amazing sacrificial death and wonderful resurrection from the dead, which is good news because it offers us freedom, rescue. So can you see the themes of the gospel, the true gospel, are being brought in even on the envelope of this letter? It's Jesus' self-giving, self-sacrifice for our sins, which gives us life and freedom. And we are so grateful we pass on this good news. And who gets the glory and praise for this? Verse 5. It's Jesus who should get all the glory and praise, because it's all because of what he has done. So, the early stages of the letter, but the themes are emerging, and I hope you'll follow them through and see what is being said. And even if you're away for a week or two, as people in this congregation can be in the month of September, I would encourage you to read the relevant portion of the letter and keep following. Home group leaders meet this Wednesday. Most home groups will start the week after. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have good news for us and all the people of the world, and that this good news matters, and that hearing the right good news matters too. Please help us to hear and to share. Amen.